When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Just so you know, and
protect
I love
the sharks
you,
the
house
wall.
Is gorgeous. That room is a little cold
it's
and kind of unwelcoming.
That's
it makes
bit.
It's kind of
and
scary.
I didn't,
it's a scary room.
Don't say that because there's some of the rooms in your houses I don't like, and I would never say that.
I said it's scary because there's a
not,
shark on the wall.
No, so what? It's called whatever.
It's
that's a damn.
She didn't realize anybody had a problem with the sharp-nosed fish on the wall. Yeah,
I don't know why everyone hates it.
It's not scary. It's taxidermy. Dorinda does not understand how anyone could think taxidermy is weird. She threw a bunch of dead animals on the wall, and she thinks everyone's going to just accept it as a cozy guest room. I love that about her. Love my Dorinda, you guys. And that fish room is the gift that keeps on giving. I could watch weeks and weeks of people arguing over this fish room. Love it, love it, love it. Now, before I get to the episode, I want to say that, first of all, hello. Welcome to Everything Iconic. I'm Danny Pellegrino. I purchased Ageless by Ramona this week. I'm biting the bullet. And I got it. It was $39.99 plus $10 shipping and handling for the bottle. Very excited to try it out for you. As soon as I get it, I will report back with an official review. And look, is Ramona a monster? Yes, but she's got great skin. And some people had recommended it to me. A few people that I know had tried it. And it made me very curious. So I feel like I needed to try it on all of our behalfs. Very excited to get it. I was a little upset about the shipping cost, $10 for shipping on a $39.99 item. However, as I said a few weeks ago, Bethany's Skinny Girl Candle, the shipping was much more than that. So, you know, six to one, half dozen of the other. I don't know. At least one will keep me young. The other one's just another fucking candle, which I don't necessarily need because I have hundreds of them around the house. Anyway, previously on this, on Real Houses of Beverly Hills, everyone was arguing about that fish room. Lou didn't want it. She said it brings up bad memories. And we open with that dinner about the rooms. Everyone's still arguing about it. We open with that Sonia and Ramona giggle that we got last week, which was, you know, an assault on the ears, that giggle between them, but I loved it. They were just like, very aggressive sounds and still thrilling. I loved it. I could watch them laugh for hours and hours. And as they're laughing about Lou not wanting the fish room, Lou storms off. And I was shocked last week and shocked again this week that Dorinda's just sort of taking it. She's not saying anything. I would be so upset if I was Dorinda because it's like, Lou is just talking so much shit about this fish room. And it's her own house. Like, do I think that Dorinda needs to redecorate? Sure. But I think it's bizarre that Dorinda is just allowing everyone to talk so poorly about her fish room. And let me say again, I do want her to redecorate that room. I think it's very ugly. And it's not just the fish on the wall. It's not just the dead animal carcasses that are hanging up. It's the fact that it's colored. I don't like the color of it, that dark hue on the walls. I think it needs to be repainted. I think there's a way to do fish on the walls where it's not looking like that. I wouldn't mind like a new bedspread. You know, she said it was a boy's room. Like I said before, she said it's not scary. It's called taxidermy. And look, I think it's bizarre. Taxidermy to me is very weird, but I know they might have some sentimental value, but I would still like to, if you're going to keep the fish, at least change some other things around, you know, like let's get a new bedspread. Let's get some new color on the wall. You know how Disney hotels do that thing where they have themed rooms where it's like you can get on an Aladdin room or Hercules room. I wouldn't mind if Dorinda fashioned this into a Finding Nemo room, you know, throw another fish up there, one that's a little bit more cartoon-like, and then it might take away some of the aggression from the other fish. Because if I had a dory on the wall, I might not be as scared to see the sharks on the wall. You know, I don't know if how they would film in that room, you know, if it was a Disney theme, because Disney's different from Bravo. You know, they're not owned by the same company, so that could be a rights issue. I don't know. Unclear. But the point is, I would like her to update that room and maybe get some, like, light ocean blue on the walls. Wouldn't that be soothing to the eye? I mean, that aggressive, harsh, like dark green or whatever is on the wall, it's too much mixed with the fish. And she did say it's a boy's room, but just because you're a boy doesn't mean you have to have a bunch of dead animal carcasses on the wall. Like, I think there's a way to do a boy's room without dead animals, right? Dorinda's just telling us, well, it's a boy's room. Well, you know what? I'm a boy, and I grew up in a room without dead fish on the wall, okay? Did I turn out gay? Sure. But I have two older brothers, and they didn't have any dead fish on the walls either, and they grew up just without a hitch. Okay, Dorinda, so let's get those fish off the wall. But again, shocked that no one, shocked that Dorinda is just sitting there taking it from the woman, because the Dorinda that I know and love, she would fight back with Lou. She would fight back. And Lou was being such an asshole, right? She went to the front counter of this place they were at the hotel, and she asked if they had a room opening, and then she booked a room. I mean, she didn't give her a credit card or anything, but she did book a room. She called that hotel manager. She's like, where's your room? He's like, I think we have some openings. She's like, save it for me. It's like, that's not how you make a reservation, ma'am. We need your credit card, and we need, you know, some other information. You don't just book a credit card like that. But Lou is on this high horse. She's back to that old Countess Luann, and that old Countess is not a nice human being. But she was just ordering that hotel manager, that poor guy. I don't even know if he worked for the hotel. I thought he worked for the restaurant. But either way, she's like, give me the room. Just give me the room. And ma'am, we're going to need to see an ID. Just because you're on a tour with a cabaret doesn't mean we can just reserve rooms willy-nilly. I'm not in the hospitality industry, but I know that much. We need at least an address and a phone number, okay, and a down payment. So Luann just booked another room, and then Dorinda said in her confessional, she said, nothing will be good enough for Lou, and she was right. She was right. So then the next day, at Dorinda's house, everyone's back there, it's a new day, new morning, and, oh wait, I should back up a little bit. So Tinsley eventually says, like, okay, you can have the room, I'll move out of it. So Tinsley gives up her room so Lou doesn't have to stay with those dead fish. And then Tinsley has to move everything out. And Lou is being such an asshole to Tinsley. Tinsley, like, left some, I don't know, Dolce & Gabbana bag or something. And Lou's like, Tinsley, get your Dolce and... Excuse me. Anyway, Lou said, get the Dolce & Gabbana out. And so poor Tins, my sweet little Tins, poor little Tins. You guys, I love my Tinsley. And poor little Tins had to go back in the room and take it all out and just... Tinsley just gets shit on by these women. She just totally gets shit on, and she takes it, and that's what I love about her. She takes it on the chin, and she just goes about her day, and she's a bright light of sunshine. She is. Game set. Now I need a match. I love her. You guys, I love her. But Lou is being so fucking rude to her, and I was mad on Tinsley's behalf. First I was mad about Dorinda, then I was mad about Tinsley. Anyway, Tinsley gave up that room, and it's revealed that Barbara's going to stay with the fish. Babs. Bullet Babs is going to stay with those fish. Ooh, we got to talk about Babs' outfits. We'll get there. Anyway, I thought Lou should really fuck off. I really did. Dorinda even had to tell the other girls, like, to be quiet at night. She's like, be quiet, Lou's trying to sleep. And I thought, oh my god, what is this place? What is this place? So then we cut to commercial, and I just want to talk about a commercial really quickly. It's for The Secret Life of Pets. Now, did anyone see this? The Secret Life of Pets sequel is coming out. And they did one of those Bravo commercials where it's like they have some of the Bravo talent. Now, this pet movie, they decided they would use Jiggy. And so Jiggy is basically like in this commercial, it's like Jiggy's secret life of him because he's a pet or whatever. And let me just tell you something. Jiggy's secret life is that he's moved on to the other side. Jiggy no longer wants to be with us. Okay. Jiggy should not be starring in commercials. His secret life is he doesn't want to be here. Let him go. He does not want to be here. Poor Jiggy is starring in commercials. I can't handle it. I mean, come on, let's get any other of the pets in there. I know Jiggy's sort of a Bravo celebrity, Bravo star, but he doesn't need to be in everything. He's at the opening of an envelope. He's at every goddamn premiere, every red carpet. He was in Vegas. He was in the opening of Tom Tom. Enough. Jiggy just wants to take a fucking nap. Let him sit at home with the bone and just enjoy his last days as a dog. Why are we treating him like he's a SAG member? Jiggy's probably a SAG member, and that's disgusting to me, and we need enough is enough. Let's get any of the other animals in there. You know, those taxidermy fish on the wall could have been a better Secret Life of whatever part two commercial. And honestly, it was rang false to me that Jiggy's secret life in the commercial wasn't that he was already at the beyond, because Jiggy is hanging on for dear life, and I'm not even sure that he's still with us. And they were making it seem like Jiggy's secret life is that he's, you know, just running around having a good old time. And guess what? It's not. It's not. So it rang false to me. And I, justice for Jiggy, hashtag justice for Jiggy. I want Jiggy to have a good end of days. Okay? And I'm sick of seeing him at every opening wearing a new outfit every goddamn day. He's got new suits, new outfits, more hats than I do. I've seen him in hats. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. Bravo is doing such aggressive hat work these days, and I don't need to see it on a pet. Animals, just leave them alone. Let them go to sleep. Take a nap. If I was a dog, I'd want to sit home in front of the fireplace. They have that lush, beautiful Villa Rosa. It's a gorgeous place. All those animals. Shaggy probably wants to sit in front of a fireplace with one fucking chew toy and just go to town on that chew toy. That's all he wants to do. That's all he wants. So it's justice for Jiggy. Anyway, back to Ross's in New York. The next day, this hot yogi comes over. And I have to apologize. Last week I said, how are they going to get a yogi in the Berkshires? And I was corrected that somebody told me that there's tons of yogis there. Apparently it's like a very yoga-centric place. So my apologies. It's a yoga center. And this very hot yogi comes over. He was wearing a shirt that said Kale. And he kissed Lou. Was shocked to see that. Did him and Lou have a relationship? Like, did I miss something? Because they kissed as if they just fucked the night before. I mean, I never kissed a yogi. I take workout classes all the time. I don't go up to my instructor and give him a kiss. I don't. I think that maybe shake a hand, maybe bow, do like a Valerie Cherish yoga bow. But I don't think you normally kiss, do you? That was weird to me. I thought, like, did they fuck? Like, did they fuck and I just not know it? Like, was he one of the boys that, you know, Lou slept with that I missed something? I mean, and I get it. Look, he was hot. I would have wanted to kiss him, too. I just don't know that it's appropriate to kiss your workout instructor. And that Kale shirt. Wow. I hate Kale. Lou said something about Kale, too. And let me tell you something. Kale's not good. It's not. I don't care how many times you massage it. They always say, you got to massage Kale. Guess what? I'm not massaging Kale. It's disgusting. I've tried it. Don't like it. Enough. Let's stop trying to make Kale happen. It's not going to happen. Anyway. Then Ramona and Sonia show up. And the three of them do yoga, plus the yogi. So it's four of them. And I'll tell you what, never heard sex noises like that out of these women. They were oohing and ahhing to the high heavens. They were all, it was like, if you would have walked in the other room and you would have thought, oh, someone's getting fucked in that other room. Because they were oohing and ahhing. Oh, ah, ooh. At one point, I think Luann said, this is the tight spot. This is the tight spot. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the tight spot. It was a lot of ooing and ahhing. And then it got really sexual. Like, I swear, if you would have walked in the other room and just heard the audio, like a blind person, if they were listening to this episode, they would think there was a porno. Because Dorinda came in, she said, your ass is like two firm cherries. That's what she said to Luann. I'm not saying Luann's ass isn't like two firm cherries. I'm just saying it was shocking to hear. And anyone, if they were just listening to the audio, if they isolated the audio of the scene, it would have been a porno. It would have. Anyway, then Dorinda says, we got to go. We're going to this museum thing. You have, 10 minutes. We got to leave at 9:50. She says, that's when the bus is leaving. She's like a summer camp counselor, she said in her thing. And boy, I'll tell you what, if I was younger, even today, I'd still would like to do it. I would go to Camp Dorinda. Do you remember when some of us were younger? I guess all of us, when we were younger, there were these camp movies. Do you remember, like, Camp Nowhere or that movie Heavyweights? Heavyweights, by the way, I mean, I never related more to a film because I was very overweight as a child. Let's take a detour for a second. So when I was a child, I'm talking like 11-ish, I would get home from school and my mom was working. She got another job, so she'd be working. So I'd get home from school and my grandma would be there. So I was like probably like 10, 11, 12, that-ish age. Like, young enough where I was too young to stay home alone. And so I would get home, my grandma would be there. And so we would sit and watch the Rosie O'Donnell show after school. And then we would have to go pick up my grandpa from work. So I'd drive with my grandma to pick up my grandpa. They shared a car, so she'd have to pick him up from work. So every single day, for like a year, a solid year, I would get in the car with my grandma, we'd go to pick up my grandpa, and on the way to pick him up, we'd stop at McDonald's. Now, this was around 4:30-ish. We'd stop at McDonald's, and sometimes I would get like a dollar menu item, but more often than not, I'd get the number three with a quarter pounder with just cheese and ketchup, large fry, and a pop. And I would eat that as an after-school snack. So think about it. I would have my breakfast in the morning before school. Then I would go to school, and I'd have my normal lunch. Then at 4:30, I would have a full meal from McDonald's, a full fucking meal. Full quarter pounder with cheese and ketchup, French fry, and a pop. And then we'd pick up my grandpa, and then my grandma would bring me back to my house, and my mom was there, and then my mom would make dinner around 6:30 or whatever, whatever dinner time was, and I need another full dinner. Now, let me say, this is child abuse. I was being abused by my grandma in this way. I know there's worse forms of abuse, but it was certainly child abuse that she would buy me a quarter pounder once a day, because that's not a healthy eating habit. I had gained so much weight, you guys. I had gained so much weight. Let me tell you how much weight I had gained. Okay? This is why I've had food issues my whole life. I've always had food issues. But I had gained so much weight that year, I went out to play football. I know that's uncharacteristic of me, but I went out to play football. I wanted to play football because all my friends were playing football. So I go out and we had like the, what do they call it? Pre-practice or whatever the fuck that is. It's like, you know, before the season starts, it's like pre-whatever. And so I went out and I was doing the practices and they told me I was too overweight to play football. Can you imagine that? Like, football is a sport where you're supposed to be big and burly and buff. And let me tell you something. They weighed me and they were like, it's too fat. They told me that. So they had to put me on a big diet so that I could play football. I was too overweight to play football. So then my parents had to put me on this big diet just so I could play football. Like, you know, like usually everyone makes that joke like, oh, you the size of a linebacker or whatever. And it's like, no, actually, like I was heavier than a linebacker. And they said, nope, you're not allowed to play linebacker. It's too big. So anyway, I had to, you know, go on this big diet. But I remember seeing that movie Heavyweights around the time. And I never related to myself more on screen. You know, they say you sometimes see yourself on screen for the very first time. You know, that's why representation matters. And I remember seeing the movie Heavyweights and I thought, wow, representation, there I am. I loved it. And that movie gets a bad rap, but I think it's fantastic. And truly, as a young child, I never related more to a film. I remember those kids, they went to this camp and they all brought their food that they snuck in. Wow, I felt it in my bones. Felt it in my bones. Anyway, back to Camp Dorinda. They all go. They go to this place called Mentford Hall, and it's an old Morgan estate. I found it weird that they were going to this house to just like look through a house. It was weird to me. But I was, first of all, focused on Lou's outfit. Did you guys catch it? A very aggressive hat, a statement necklace. There were these boots, then this shawl that sort of looked like a rug pattern. Didn't it look like a rug? It's something, the pattern on it was like ruggish. And then the rug had these like fur balls coming off it, plus a fur collar. It was certainly a look, an LEWK. And Lou has been wearing tons of hats lately. And I feel like she's got that same hat in a million different, I think she got a Groupon for the Lids store at the mall. And she just went and bought every fucking hat she could find, because every scene now she's got a hat. And not just on the show, in real life too, she's wearing these hats. And I swear I've seen this one before, but it's like slightly different. She has the same hat in like a million different colors, which I understand if you like something, you buy a bunch of it, but she's got a lot of hats. And right when we got to this Morgan estate, I thought Sonia's going to be on the brim. She's going to be on the brim because it didn't seem like a healthy place for Sonia to be. And I was on the edge of my seat. Sonia's walking through it. She's mentioning her daughter. It's weird we've never seen Sonia's daughter, isn't it? I find it shocking that we've never seen Sonia's daughter. All these years, nothing. She's been able to last this long without showing one image of her daughter. That's impressive. But I could tell that it was triggering. I thought, this is not good for Sonia. I was on the edge of my seat. And also, this was a museum tour. So it's like the only reason I think that producer set it up was to like push Sonia on the edge, which was smart. It was smart reality TV producing. I don't believe that Dorinda set this up. I think a producer was like, oh, there's a Morgan estate. I think that'll really spiral Sonia. So let's all take the girls there. Because when on these shows have we seen them go to a museum? I've never seen them at a museum. I mean, I know this wasn't technically a museum, but it was sort of like that. So they obviously were pushing off Sonia off a ledge. They were. And so they're walking around the room. They go to this one room and there's these letters on a table. Dorinda kind of like puts them, and you see Sonia really start to lose it. She starts to lose it on Dorinda because Dorinda put her fingers on it, which she later calls them the paws, Dorinda's paws. Anyway, I thought, get her out of here. We need her out of here. It was like a horror movie. Get Sonia out of here. She was spiraling. And of course, what the fuck did they think was going to happen? Sonia's always been kind of like this. Do you remember when she had that, I mean, all that stuff about the family crest and everything? They knew what they were doing. Anyway, they cut to, they get her out of there eventually. Then they go to Dorinda's pool, which, who knew? This pool was beautiful. We've never seen it because we're always there in the wintertime, but this pool is great. Ramona said, I wish I brought my goggles so I could show you how I swim. She sounded like my 6-year-old niece, and I loved it. She truly is ageless. Truly ageless. Then Dorinda and Luann, they sort of make up again. They did make up, but I don't know if it'll stand, you know? But I'm glad that we're moving on from this Dorinda and Luann fight, because the New York girls know how to keep it moving. They know how to keep it moving. Did you see Real Housewives of Beverly Hills this week? I just want to touch on it briefly because I was shocked that Camille is seemingly team everyone else. I thought she was on team LVP, but then in this episode, first of all, at the beginning of the episode on Beverly Hills, we saw her kind of talking shit about LVP. And then at the end, she was talking about LVP's gums. Oh my God, you guys, I died. I could not believe it. And I wondered what LVP thought. I know LVP tweeted something like Camille apologized, but ooh, it was shady. I was not, and unexpected, because I thought Camille was firmly on team everyone else. Wow. Wow, Bethany, wow. Okay, so back to New York. There was a moment after Luann and Dorinda made up that Ramona and Luann talked, and Luann said, Dorinda and I are good now, we made up. And let me just say that Ramona's face was doing something very bizarre in this scene. I don't even know what they were talking about, but Ramona's face was certainly short-circuiting. Like, it was like Ramona was a robot, and the face was just short-circuiting. I don't know what was happening, but she was saying, like, I'm so glad you made up. But then her face was doing something totally different. Her words were saying one thing, and then her face was saying another. And wow, I don't know what's going on with Ramona's face. This isn't the ageless, is it? Ageless by Ramona. I don't know if that's what it does to you. I'm concerned. Then Bullet Babs shows up, and immediately, we thought we were done with the fish stuff, but then immediately Babs is getting a tour of the house, and she says to Dorinda, what the hell are those? And then Dorinda says the line of the night, my favorite line, taxidermy. What, you've never seen taxidermy? Dorinda, I'm like, well, no one is just comfortable with taxidermy. Like, I don't think it's a weird thing for someone to be confused about the dead animals in the room. Why does Dorinda think this is a normal thing? Then this is where she says, it's a boy's room. It's not normal. And then Dorinda says, it's a $275,000 room. Okay, I'm either going to call bullshit. I mean, like, I don't know how much taxidermy costs. I don't know how much it costs to stuff a dead animal carcass so that you could hang it up on the wall. It might be a lot of money. I assume it's a lot. But I don't know that this was, it certainly doesn't look like a $275,000 room. And you know what? I thought Dorinda shopped at Home Goods. Guess what? You can't buy at Home Goods. You know, expensive taxidermy. They don't have that there. So maybe Dorinda needs to take a shopping trip and redecorate. You know, let's get some new stuff on the walls. I don't know. If she's attached to those fish, which some people were telling me that Richard caught the fish. But is that, like, really a thing? I know sentimental, whatever, but just because Richard caught it? Like, guess what? My grandpa once ate a chicken. Does that mean I'm going to stuff a dead bird and hang it up in my bathroom? No. I think there's other things that you could be sentimental about. Hold on to a note, a picture. I don't know. Something sentimental they give you for an anniversary. I don't think Richard just was like, you know, gave Dorinda a shark for their anniversary. Maybe I'm wrong. What do I know? But there's been plenty of animals in the people that I've lost lives. And I didn't stuff them and hang them up on my walls. And I just think it's unreasonable that Dorinda's not seeing the other side of this. But I do love it about Dorinda. And right away, there's like this tension between Dorinda and Babs. Very into it. Very excited about it. They already had that fight last week, but very excited to see where this goes. And Dorinda and Ramona specifically hate Babs. You could totally tell. They all went out by the pool, and Dorinda and Babs were, or Dorinda and Ramona were making fun of Babs' wrap dresses, her boots. Ramona said, my daughter doesn't even show her belly button because Babs had, like, the cutoff shirt on. And look, at first when I heard them saying this, I thought, oh, those are mean girls. This isn't the kind of behavior I like to see. I thought, poor Babs. She's this beautiful new girl. She's fresh on the scene, and here they are just making fun of her outfit. And then I took a closer look at this outfit, and look, I don't want to judge someone's looks, but there was a cutout in the back of her shirt. And then it was also a cutoff. And she had a very aggressive statement belt on. And it was a look. It was an L-E-W-K. And I know Babs is in her first season, and first seasons are tough on everyone. But this is a very, this is a, woo, this is a look. You guys, this is a tough thing to look at. And I love Babs. I do. I do. And I'm so excited to see more of her. But this whole outfit, it was not maybe all going together, you know? And I'm not a fashionista. I'm not a stylist. I don't know. I don't know how to fix it. But maybe she should call up a friend, someone, and next season she probably will. If she sticks around, I think she'll have a look. And I bet you next season she'll show up on the scene and she'll look amazing, right? Like, she'll have this big makeover. It would be even fun to see a makeover montage on screen, you know, on Atlanta. Shamari, halfway through the season, her look shifted and she looked amazing. So it's not out of the question. Maybe Babs will. But some of Babs' looks are maybe just like not as polished. But she's new. She's new to TV. She'll get a makeover. But that outfit was like very rough around the edges. Ramon even said it was rough around the edges. I like, though, that Ramon is hazing Barbara in a way that is good to me. Ramona knows how to haze well. Have you noticed that? Like, some of the other franchises, the OGs, they can be a little too mean. Like, Vicky on Orange County, she, like, won't even talk to the new girls. Or, I don't know, I'm trying to think of some of the others. But, you know, the OGs always have problems with the new girls. But I think Ramona, and even on Beverly Hills, they're pretty good with the new girls. But Ramona, I feel like, does a good mix of hazing. You know, she does a little bit of that thing that Vicky Gumbelson and Tamara and those girls do on Orange County with the new girl. But then it's not over the line. Like, she'll still film with them. She'll still talk to them. So I like that. So Babs starts talking to Sonia about the fish. Okay, because everyone, no one can stop talking about these fish. This fish room is the talk of the town. And Dorinda overhears her talking about it. And Dorinda gets pissed. She finally starts to lose it. And I thought she was really going to lose it on Babs. Unfortunately, she didn't. She just stormed off. She did say, she called Babs a negative see you next Tuesday. I'm not going to say the word, but it was see you next Tuesday. Dorinda said that as she stormed off into the house. And look, I enjoyed it, but would I have liked her to say it to her face? It was behind her back, but I would have liked them to maybe get into it a little bit about this. And again, I would have been on Dorinda's side, because if I heard someone talking about my fish, especially a new girl. So, you know, I see both sides. Are the fish disgusting on the wall? Sure, 100%. It's a disgusting room. It is. But then also, it's my room. If I was Dorinda, I'd be like, well, it's my room. It's my choice how I decorate it. You know, my decorations aren't that great. I have gather signs all over my fucking house. Every room you walk in, there's something on the wall that just says gather. So look, am I an interior designer? No. But I get both sides. I do. Then Bethany arrives. And Bethany says she's always had a hard time at these the Bluestone Manor trips. And we see flashbacks of Bethany. We see her calling Luann a whore. And we see that, you know, that one dinner where she didn't want sushi or she got in that fight with Heather. You know, we had all these flashbacks. And we've had so many good times at Bluestone Manor. Have we not ever? I mean, and this episode too, it's like, oh my God, it's a gift from the gods. This, I don't know. It must be haunted. It's obviously haunted. I don't know. Richard's ghost is in those walls and in those fish. Something is happening here. I would love to get a Ghostbuster in there. I'd love to just get someone Alison Dubois or some sort of Ghostbuster to look in those walls. Last week I was saying Melinda, Dorinda's sister, she should be a Ghostbuster. I'd like to see her run through the house with the black light. Wouldn't that be great? On the Sci-Fi Channel or something, we need to get a Bluestone Manor where people just go stay there. And then we have those, them bring in those machines. Like, have you ever watched those ghost shows where they bring in those machines and they're, it's like, you only see like through the night vision. And those people walk around and they're like, oh, this is a new frequency in here. I bet you if they walked around with that ghost machine, they would detect lots of weird frequencies. Know that. As Alison DeBaugh would say, know that. Alison DeBaugh would walk in there and she'd be like, look, I know those fish, those fish are telling me that your husband will never emotionally fulfill you. Know that. So I'm sure Alison DeBaugh would pick up on some things. Also, while we're here, shocked that Alison DeBaugh has never been on anything else on Bravo ever again. Just that one dinner party from hell. Where's her spinoff? Where's her ghost-busting spinoff? Anyway, there was also a moment where Ramona sniffed Babs. Did you guys catch this? She was like saying hello or goodbye or something, and she just sniffed her. I wondered what she smelled like. What do you think Babs smells like? Is it just like sawdust? I know she's a construction worker. Do you think Babs just smells like sawdust? Or do you think she covers it up with a nice scent? I'm not sure. I'd like to know. But right when Bethany arrives, they all are sort of sitting outside, and Babs and Sonia were already kind of lit. They were already a little drunk. And Bethany shows up like a bat out of hell. She's just looking for a tampon. She said everyone here has got cobwebs in their vaginas. she's not wrong. But they're all sort of sitting outside. Bethany, Babs, and Sonia are sitting outside. And Tinsley comes out to kind of join them. And Sonia orders Tinsley to get the drinks. Like the fucking waiter. Ah, poor Tins. I love her. And she did it, too. Tins is like, what else do you need? And I love her. Game set. Now I need a match. I love her. She's doing whatever they tell her. She said she's like the little sister of the group, the runt of the litter, and she is. But I love her. I don't know what it is. I'm just more and more every week I fall in love with her. Just a breath of fresh air. Also, during this scene, there was a lot of carved pumpkins. I don't remember them carving pumpkins, so I was a little unclear of where they came from. Was there a pumpkin carving party that we just didn't see on camera? Or did some other school group come in here and carve pumpkins? Either way, made me think of this Camp Dorinda, and I thought, if this was a real camp, we'd have a pumpkin carving party. And I'm here for it. I love any sort of holiday activity. You know, like I love a Halloween activity where you're carving pumpkins and drinking apple cider. Oh, I love the fall. I love a season. Fall is the best, you guys. You know I love Christmas, but fall is also the best. The leaves on the ground. I mean, nothing's better than fall foliage. Ugh, I'm getting wet just thinking about it. I love the fall. The crisp air, apples everywhere, cinnamon sticks, Halloween decorations. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Love the fall. Anyway, then Bethany goes inside and she runs into Dorinda and they talk about A Star Is Born. Now, this was really interesting because Bethany said to Dorinda, it was all about a pill addiction. And then I thought about Dennis. She said she sat in the theater and cried. I was a little distracted because when I was seeing the scene, I was thinking back how I saw The Star Is Born and how Lea Michele was sitting in front of me. And the whole viewing of A Star Is Born, I was thinking about how Lea Michele was watching the screen and thinking about how that was her life. Well, look, here to come to find out, Bethany was watching the screen thinking about how it was her life. So everyone in some way thought it was their life on screen. You know, that Lady Gaga was portraying them. You know, with that, what was that that sound she made in Chalice? Oh! I'm sorry, I will never do that for you again. I apologize about that sound. I don't know what that sound was that came out of my mouth, but it certainly wasn't singing. I do not have a voice for singing. I don't, that's for sure. But Bethany thought she was Lady Gaga, and that Bradley Cooper was Dennis. And what was interesting to me about this scene was that they were talking about current pop culture, which we never see. I can't think of a Housewives where I saw them say, oh, I just saw that movie. Or I was listening to that new CD, or you know what I'm saying? It was a weird thing, and I loved it. I would love a movie review show. I'd like to see these women rate and review movies. You know, I want them, besides those commercials that we see about them, you know, kind of incorporating themselves into movies, I'd like to know what they thought about them. Give me, like, you know, Ebert and Siskel or whatever, Siskel and Ebert. Let's reboot that with some Housewives. You know, I'd love to know what Leanne Locken and, I don't know, Shamari think of the new Avengers. You know, I want to know. Whose team are they on? What do they think of Thanos? That's what I need. So I thought that was interesting. And Bethany cried. And I feel so bad when Bethany cries. But there's something that I think they're not telling us. Something about this Dennis situation or this Bethany situation that I feel like they're all hiding. I don't know what. We do know that in the blogs there was something about pills. But I still think there's some more stuff to it that we're just not privy to. Anyway, Bethany, she brought that sign for Dorinda where you can like make your own sign. And she wrote A Place of Yes. And I don't know. Enough. Then Dorinda sits Bethany down and she says Luzbin's kind of saying some shit, and she sort of stirs up some shit between Bethany and Luann. And Bethany says, why would Luz say anything negative about me ever? Why would she do that? And this is setting Lou up for failure. And I know that Lou, I said earlier, she's being an asshole. But if Bethany thinks that Luann is always going to be nice to her, that's not going to happen. We've already seen Luann kind of turning a little bit on Bethany. But there's no way that this relationship can last. I don't even think it'll last to the reunion. I mean, we see it turning on screen, but currently, I think in real time, Luann and Bethany are good, but I bet watching this all back, it's not going to be good. Because Bethany even said in her confessional, she said, Luann left rehab 2 weeks early to do her cabaret show, which was kind of like some, it was like some, a little dig, right? And Luann's going to see that. And look, Luann should have not left rehab early. But Luann, one of my problems, I think, with Luann is that on screen, she's trying to act like she's got it all together. And I know, we all know that she doesn't, right? But also, I don't like her making light of everything. Like, even since her arrest, like, we saw the footage of her in the cop car, and it was so much, like, privilege there with, like, what Luann was doing and the fact that she was talking to police officers like that. And then I felt like she kind of brushed it off as if it was... I didn't like the way that that all went down. And then with the community service stuff, we know from the press and the blogs that she hadn't been doing community service the way she was supposed to this past year. And so to me, it's all like, you're just making light of it all. And if this was other people, like, if this was a person of color or something doing some of the things that Luann did to the police officer, or I don't know, you guys, I just don't like the side of Luann at all. And I don't like, I mentioned when they were at that God's Love We Deliver, which is such a great organization, and they make food for sick AIDS patients who are not able to leave the house. And Luann was just making light of it. And just, that really grossed me out. And so, I don't know, this Bethany and Lou thing is not going to last at all. I mean, then Art Smith shows up. Ah, Art Smith. I, of course, know him from Oprah. All of us know him from Oprah. I was so excited to see him. More excited than seeing that bare naked chef. I didn't need to see him. I didn't need to see that. But he showed up. Apparently he manages. I was a little unclear. I thought, is Art doing the cooking and then this bear chef is the sous chef? Or is Art just his manager? I don't know, but I'd love to eat Art Smith's food. You know, remember on Oprah he made his fried chicken? I heard it was great. By heard it was great, I mean, I remember watching the episode where Oprah ate it. But I would love food from Art Smith, but I don't want it from that bare naked man. He wasn't for me. Look, I love a naked man. I love a dick. You all know I love a dick. I love an ass. Love a dick. Would love a naked man cooking for me. But that one, I don't know, something about him grossed me out. I just felt like he, I don't know, grossed me out. And then, did you hear when he said he had to, like, go get ready? I thought, is he showering? Like, is that what he means? I couldn't tell if he just meant, like, he was going to go take off his clothes in the other room, or if he meant, like, hey, Dorinda, where's your shower? I gotta, you know. And in which case, they should have put him in the fish room. I don't know if they were staying overnight. Him and Art should have stayed in that fish room. So, you know, I would have liked to see them in there. But he wasn't for me. I don't like this man. I'm just looking down at my notes and I wrote, what the fuck is Babs wearing? I know we already talked about that, but it's worth mentioning again. Bethany said something also about Babs's gullet. Did you hear her? I love the word gullet. I think gullet is a hysterical word. It's right up there with bamboozled. Y'all know I love the word bamboozled and loved it. Dorinda even said in one of, speaking of, we talked a little bit about Lou before, and Dorinda said that Lou has no self-awareness, and she's right. She doesn't seem to have any self-awareness about any of this. And maybe that's what bugs me about it. I mean, then we cut to the dinner. Babs tried to take the head of the table. Ramona immediately said no. She said, no. Ramona had a couple great moments this episode. And then Tinsley even said to Ramona that Babs needed to take it down a notch. And did you notice that the tides were turning? They were all starting to get drunk. Babs was drunk here, and you could tell Sonia was wasted. Sonia kept making, like, lesbian remarks, or not lesbian remarks, but, like, sexual remarks towards the women. And she said, I don't know, Bethany was her girl. And Sonia was blacked out. And they were drinking out of these wine glasses that were really cute. I wrote in my notes that I need to go to Home Goods and look for them. And Luann, I thought, she was just saying how this room, the fish on the wall, was triggering for her. And I thought, maybe you just shouldn't be at the Berkshires. Because then she's around all these women drinking. And obviously, it's great that Lou's strong enough to be around other people drinking. But it seems like it would be tough to be in a house where everyone is not just drinking, but, like, wasted. Like, these girls were wasted. And we see in the previews for next week that they are super wasted. So maybe I thought it's not a great place for Luann. But she seemed okay. She seemed to be doing good so far. She was laying on the bed. She seemed to like watching the women. There was a flashback to her getting drunk. She said something like, I used to like to get drunk. And then they showed her falling in that bush, which is great TV. 5-star entertainment. And then we also got a flashback to Sonia trying to fuck Bethany. It's great. And they're all sitting in this room, and did you hear them talking about Bethany's jeans? Somebody said, like, Bethany makes jeans for every size. And then Ramona said, she said, the average American is big. The average American is huge. And then Ramona did a little dance in front of the mirror. And Ramona, she's, I know she's a monster. Again, I say that every 5 minutes, Ramona's a monster. But she says things with no filter. It's like, she's not thinking about a camera. She just says whatever the fuck's on her mind. And I think that's what makes her a great housewife, in my opinion. Then Sonia keeps getting drunk. She looked like she was going to take a squat and a poop in the kitchen. Do you see that? There was this one moment where she moved her legs, spread her legs out, and she looked like she was going to take a poop right there, right in front of that naked chef. Who, by the way, she walked right up to and was like, photo op. She was so drunk. Photo op. Just photo op. That was just a photo op. And then they were all talking about his hairy ass. And a couple things. I didn't think it was that hairy. He didn't seem that hairy of a man. Yes, he wasn't like a smooth twink, but he wasn't just not that hairy. They were all like, look at that hairy ass. He didn't seem that hairy to me, but I was still not into this man. He wasn't for me. And they all went to the dining room, and that naked chef, he came out with a bottle of wine. He was going to pour Lou a drink, and Ramona's like, no. And then he was going to pour Sonia a drink, and Ramona's like, no. That's a good friend. She was trying to keep Sonia away from the sauce. Bethany made Sonia take a glass of water at one point. But Sonia needed to stop because she was starting to turn. Very surprised, too, about Dorinda's behavior. Dorinda seemed to be keeping it together, which was great. Next week, not so much, but this week, so far. Then there was also a moment where Dorinda stared at Luann's boobs very intensely. Very, very intensely. And a lot of sexual innuendos, like I said, with the yogi. And then something happened that made me so scared, so nervous, again, on the edge of my seat. I had goosebumps, chills. I was terrified. I was clutching my pearls. I was standing. My eyes were wide. My eyes were aghast. They looked like Ramona on the catwalk. So fucking terrified when Sonia picked up Coco, Ramona's dog. And she put Coco around her neck like a necklace, but then looked like she was going to snap Coco in half. And I don't know if you guys saw the movie John Wick, the first one. Now, I didn't see the whole thing because it opened with a very intense dog scene. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but let's just use your imagination. Very disturbing dog scene. And that's all I could think about when I saw Sonia holding Coco. I did not like it. I did not care for it. I immediately wanted Sonia to put that on the dog. And everyone else did too. Everyone was like, Sonia, put down the dog. Every single person. I thought production would step in. You know, production rarely steps in. I thought they needed to do it here because she had Coco around her neck. And it didn't look, she didn't have a good look in her eye. And also, the way she was like kind of stretching out Coco, what were you thinking? It was not stable. And it was like behavior where it's like, you shouldn't drink if that's how you're going to look, if that's what you're going to do when you're drunk. If people have to worry about you killing their dog when you're drunk, then maybe you should stop drinking. That's my opinion. Love my Sonia. I love her. And we've seen her be much better than she has in the past. But this was disturbing. And they did trigger her early in the episode, but made me uncomfortable. Dorinda and Luann, they go off and have a cigarette, so they're out of the room. And I'm very excited to see their cigarette scene, because I love when a housewife does cigarette work. Very excited. And then this is where Sonia starts to lose it. So first of all, she calls Dorinda's John a Joe Schmo. Then she says, Dorinda put her paws all over the Morgan letters. She said, you don't touch the fucking Morgan letters. And then Sonia breaks down crying. This is a breakdown, you guys. This is not a breakthrough. This is a breakdown. And I don't know what's going to happen next week, but some things was deeply triggered in Sonia, and we're seeing it all come out after the alcohol. And it was scary. Don't get me wrong. Very entertaining television. It was great TV to watch, but also very scary, and it made me uncomfortable because I love my Sonia so much. I want to just see her. I want to see her do well, and I don't want to see her like this, but she snapped. Sonia snapped. Thank God Coco got out of there. You know, otherwise we'd have had a John Wick 3. But Coco got out of that room, and Sonia just snapped. Don't you touch the fucking Morgan letters! Then we got it to be continued. Next time, we have that night that we all saw on social media months ago. So next week is the week where they all are even more drunk than they were this week. So much stuff seems to be happening. Lou says some more shitty stuff. Tinsley cries. Barbara versus Dorinda. Tinsley versus Bethany next week. A lot going on. A lot of different threads. Again, this is Housewives perfection. So many different little arguments happening. A lot of bizarre stuff. We got them doing different things. They're not at those escape rooms. Remember, they all went to those escape rooms or those rooms where you hit shit. This is, they had them going to a museum. We're seeing new things on screen, new dynamics unfolding with this Babs. Still getting lots of fish stuff, which is wonderful. Want more of it. Very, very excited. I loved this episode. I couldn't have loved it more. And next week's looks even better. If that's possible, it looks even better. So I cannot wait. Before I let you go, I want to say a couple things. First of all, if you haven't listened to the Cynthia interview, I interviewed Cynthia from the Real Housewives of Atlanta. She was so wonderful. Truly the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. Like, when she first got over, I was like, I can't stand close to you because it makes me feel self-conscious. And then by the end of it, I was so mesmerized by her facial features. Those cheekbones, stunning. Stunning, stunning, and so sweet. And she spilled some good tea. And Atlanta's been good. The end of the season was good. The reunion has been good. Although I don't like the way Nene's acting in this reunion, but Cynthia, like, I thought she really spilled some stuff. Also, I want to encourage everyone to listen to the Willa Ford interview. Even if you don't know who Willa Ford is or that song, it's a great, a lot of stuff about pop culture from the early aughts, and I just found her so, so wonderful. And I did hear some, well, I don't know if I should say this. Okay, no, well, okay, I don't know if I should say this, but no one say anything. Do not tag anyone on social media. Do not let this go anywhere. But I did hear that maybe someone, possibly, allegedly, maybe someone from the Rosses Beverly Hills, maybe allegedly, possibly, reached out to Willa Ford after that interview. So maybe, possibly, it could maybe happen. I mean, who knows? Just a reaching out, like, no, nothing official or anything about next season. But I know I shouldn't have told you guys that. But that would be exciting, right? I think that'd be a good fit. But no tagging. Do not tell anyone I told you that. And maybe it didn't even happen. Maybe I'm making this all up. Maybe it's all a lie. You guys, I also heard some good tea about Housewife, and I'm not allowed to say anything, but let me just say again, no tagging, as always, no, never ever tag, please. But I did also hear that there is a housewife who maybe allegedly possibly has a significant other that's not their husband. Okay. And I did hear this from a few different sources, but I'm not going to say who it is because I'll get in trouble. But as soon as I can, as soon as it maybe comes out in another blog or something, I will say it. But this is like juicy. And it's not, a lot of you might be thinking about Real Housewives of New Jersey. And that's not who it is. Although I think there were reports in blogs that it was, that Teresa has another boyfriend, but I don't know if that's true. But this is not New Jersey. So I'll just say that. And please don't tag me or don't even post that. Don't post this anywhere because that'll, I don't want to get in trouble about that. So please just keep it between us girlfriends. That's all. So I want to leave you guys. Before I do, I want to say, please find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino, Twitter and Instagram, Facebook, facebook.com/PellegrinoDanny. If you want to support the show, you want bonus episodes, click, go to patreon.com/everythingiconic, click become a patron. If you donate $4 or more per month, most importantly, you're helping to support the show and you help me make it and you get the bonus episodes. So there's guaranteed one bonus a month. There's some good stuff over there. And thank you so much to everyone who's there. And then if you like Hallmark movies, like, you know, I love the Hallmark Christmas movies. I love them so, so much. And they're playing them like every Friday night, they're playing them. Well, if you like the year round ones, there's a podcast some friends of mine are doing called The Bubbly Sesh. They're so, so wonderful. Jackson Schall, I've been on their show before. It's the official Hallmark podcast, and they made a little ad for me to play on this show, so I want you guys to check them out, subscribe. If you're into the Hallmark stuff, the Hallmark channel, I love the Christmas movies. I don't watch the year-round ones, but I love the Christmas ones, and Jax and Shaw are so, so wonderful, and they're just joined the Hallmark family, and they're the official podcast for them. So they sent over a little message to maybe convince you guys to listen to some of those. They are so wonderful, so sweet, so funny, so great. So check them out. They're called The Bubbly Sesh, and here's a commercial for it. And then I want to encourage you all to do a little cool down after this ad, because I'm not going to come back and do a cool down, but I love you all, sending all the love out to the universe. And thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye.
Hey, Everything Iconic listeners.
I'm Jax.
I'm Shaw.
And this is
Hallmark Channel's Bubbly Sesh.
What is that, you ask?
Well, we love having Danny on our show because he loves Hallmark Christmas movies. Mm-hmm. I mean, who doesn't?
Who doesn't? I think we all do. So we're here to talk about it.
We recap all of the Hallmark movies year-round, including the mysteries. We bring you talent interviews. We've got Candace Cameron Bure, Lacey Chabert, really everyone iconic.
Do you see what we did there, Dan?
So, everyone, please subscribe to our podcast, hallmarkchannel.com/podcast, or wherever you get your pods. And Danny, we heart you. We hope to see you back on the pod soon. Cheers!
Icons, if you're anything like me, you love to spend TV commercial breaks browsing real estate listings. Now, I love watching my favorite shows and also looking up homes, especially the ones that I know that I can't afford. And my favorite app to use is Redfin. When Matt and I were looking for a home, we used the Redfin app to search for homes in the area. And within our budget, the Redfin app made it super easy. Now, Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes and sends you personalized recommendations. So finding the home that's perfect for you has never been easier. Plus, if you see something you like, you can book a tour straight from the app. And when you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents know how to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With the listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards your next home. So Redfin made it so easy to filter out the homes that didn't meet or have the necessities I wanted. I still use it to search for homes close by and in the cities my favorite reality TV stars live. Download the Redfin app to get started. Ever since I saw Clueless, I wanted to have the most amazing wardrobe, and that includes all of the clothes inside the wardrobe closet, and that's why I'm excited to talk to you about Quince. Now, Quince has you covered with truly timeless pieces that never go out of style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Quince has all sorts of must-haves. I'm talking Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50. I have a blue cashmere crew neck sweater I got from them that I get so many compliments on all the time. I love it. Plus, iconic 100% leather jackets and versatile flow-knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes us savings all over to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. Love that. Makes you feel good about shopping with Quince. Again, I've gotten a lot of stuff there. Just good quality pieces and a lot of different options if you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe. So indulge in the affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/iconic for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, quince.com/iconic to get free shipping and 365-day returns, quince.com/iconic.